This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here's Alex Tuck playing it across. Bernard Docker gaining the Flyers line. He'll continue a play down. Here's Tuck in front, scores! Great feed, Alex Tuck! And the Rick Martin Memorial Award winner makes it 1-0. Pelche trying to center. Buffalo getting it back. A 2-on-1 chance here on the rush. Buffalo pushing it actually with 2 on the odd man. Scores! McLeod feeds it across and Quinn buries it. And it's 3-1 Buffalo. Sabres with an empty net chance. McLeod! Yes, sir! With 47.9 seconds to go, the empty netter for Buffalo pushes it to 5-3 Sabres.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday. I'm wearing shorts. No apologies.
I thought about wearing shorts. I decided one more day of like the thin pants. It's also, Fun Hat Friday?
Oh, I forgot about Fun Hat Friday.
I mean, I didn't go nuts for it. I wore a corduroy hat with Smokey the Bear on it.
Yeah, I just forgot. Yeah. Sure. This is my fun hat. What?
Yeah.
It just can't be a fun hat?
No.
This is a hat.
That can't be a fun hat.
Evan's got a fun
2007.
Hat. 2007. What, you think this hat is that old?
Yeah.
Evan's probably got one. Evan's got a fun hat. This is a baseball hat from Breckenridge, Colorado, where we went skiing, and skiing in Breckenridge is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's my fun hat.
Hmm.
Doesn't pass?
No.
Oh, I apologize.
No, I was looking at my hat collection and thinking, like, what passes for fun hat here? And not many.
I was going to say, Fun Hat Friday's in the last 2 weeks.
I'm going to run out very quickly, or I'm going to have to start, like, buying, you know, the chicken wing hats.
I did find my Nashville cowboy hat. It's a little different than Josh's. When Josh was here with the cowboy hat, his sides were kind of bent up.
Yeah.
And mine are way out wide.
I don't think I ever thought about there being different types of cowboy hats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. I'm wearing shorts because it's high of 70 today.
Yeah.
And
be nice.
Without, you know, being a jinx, it looks like it's going to be nice for a while, at least temperature-wise. It's going to be windy and rainy here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But are we done with...
I think we might be done.
Are we done with the 20s?
I think we're done with the, we're definitely done
let's,
with the 20s.
Let's slowly check boxes. We're done with the 20s.
Check.
It looks like we're almost done with the low 30s. The high low of the next 10 days is 39.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, so, you know, we're getting there.
All right, yeah. I could say we're done with the low 30s.
Right. Yeah. Put it this way. I'm dreaming of a real honest to goodness outdoor golf round. And it doesn't seem ridiculous.
Yeah.
It seems like that could happen soon.
Yeah, I did that again yesterday. And
you played?
It was great, yeah. The sun was out the whole day. Little cold yesterday, but fine. I would like to ask then, or can we check the box of then we're done with snow?
I think
if we're saying done with low 30s, I think we're done with snow.
I think so.
He said seeing a car with snow on it when he pulled into the parking lot earlier this week.
That's right.
I'm going to say it. I think we're done with snow.
All right, good. Well, good morning. We're done with snow. Joe's declared we're done with snow.
I played two golf rounds this week, so I feel like once you've done that, you feel a little more comfortable in saying, "Yeah, I'm not gonna have any snow. I'm not gonna need the snow brush again."
Yeah.
You should never need the snow brush and your golf bag in your car at the same time.
That's right. It should never snow for the draft. How about that? That's another new rule. Let's make that. We're less than a week from the draft.
Could you imagine the Bills get the draft in like 2028, and it snows?
It'd be over. For us. They would move the team. It'd be over for us if it snowed at the draft.
The reputation of the team. You'd never again be able to say to somebody, guys, it's not that bad for most games of the year. It's not that bad for most months of the year. Like, guys, it snowed during the NFL draft in April. Nothing you can even say to come back from that.
Yeah.
If it were to do that.
Well, it's going to be nice out, so that's good. Enjoy the weekend. Easter weekend, of course, for those that celebrate. And we've got lots to get to. The Sabres season ends. This is not irony. It's coincidence. It's whatever. The Sabres season ends on Easter weekend with a game at home against the Flyers, just like it did 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Same uniforms?
I mean, technically that one ended in Philadelphia, but...
Well, sure.
It basically ended here.
Here on Easter Sunday, they lose with Leno scoring in overtime.
They had the lead.
And then they go to Philly. So a 14-year time warp, and the Sabres and Flyers played a game that neither team needed and neither team cared about. I had a thought last night. This is not a full-on betting thought, but it's a thought. That is the last game of the season where there's nothing on the line, a great spot to bet overs. Because team defense, schmefense. Who cares? I'm out here trying to get my 28th. I'm out here trying to get my 100th assist or 850th assist. Who cares about team defense? Last game of the season. What's coach going to do?
Get your numbers.
Get your numbers.
Get your numbers.
Are you going to go to the press box tomorrow? No. Exit meetings? Who cares?
Right.
Calgary last night had four players make their NHL debut.
Wow. Yeah, AHL squads.
Yes.
Is another part of this.
It's a great... I mean, if you're out of the playoffs, and even if you're in, you know, a lot of these teams are resting their players. But please, back check. Who needs it? It's the last game of the season.
Yeah. Did you bet the over?
I did not. What was the final score? 5-4.
5-4. You would have hit.
I should have. Anyway, I just had that thought. Like, it's... What's anybody caring about here? Let loose. I didn't check the rest of the league scores, but none of the games...
No game mattered. No game mattered other than you still had some NHL teams playing their important guys in meaningless games right before the playoffs, which the NHL's moved a little bit on this, but not as much as the other sports. Right now, NFL, NBA... Austin Matthews last night. The game means absolutely nothing. Another league or another team with a guy that important have played him in that game.
Yeah.
But there he is. And actually, did you see what happened in that game? So Toronto, maybe the players were like, knowing this game means absolutely nothing. We don't care anyway. Chris Tanev scores to tie the game with 1.8 seconds left, and all the Leafs players look at each other. They don't even really celebrate. They're just like, really, dude? You had to put that one in the back of the net to tie it and send us to OT? Ottawa I saw last night. Ottawa's in the playoffs because Linus Allmark's been incredible. And he has an injury history. And yesterday they started him in a meaningless game.
Last game
of the season. Yeah. Dallas just lost Jason Robertson maybe for the first round of the playoffs two nights ago in a game that didn't matter. So the NHL's got... They've started doing it a little bit, but they're not doing it as much as the other sports are yet.
Every game last night went over except for one. Your final scores, 5-4, 4-3, 7-5, 6-1, 5-2, 5-1, and 4-0. Actually might be two that didn't.
So apologies to the one poor soul that parlayed all overs last night and lost on one of them.
Yeah. Well, good morning. What do you want to start with, Sabres or Trey White's back? Start there.
I mean, we could Trey White Goalie Academy. We could find a way to morph the two together. Talked about goaltending yesterday.
Trey White's back.
Cool story. Nobody's in any disagreement, right? He does not change anything about the draft.
I agree with that. I don't think he does anything. Right. I don't think it's anything to think, well, now corner one can be in the second round. That's not different.
Right.
How many players right now could sign with NFL teams that would change their team's draft strategy? I'll start the list. One, Aaron Rodgers. Two, I have no idea who's left. I mean,
you could even debate Aaron Rodgers. The fact that if Pittsburgh signed him, they should still draft a quarterback in the first round. But you're right.
But whoever it is, you want to go out there and sign Amari Cooper? You want to go out there and sign Asante Samuel Jr.? These players that are on the market are there for a reason, because these teams have identified their draft needs. I was looking at Trey White's contract last year. So he had a one-year deal with the Rams, then got traded to the Ravens. So it was 1 year, 4.2 guaranteed. And now this year it's 1 year, 6.8, up to 6.8. We don't have the numbers. His guaranteed money will be what? Three?
I was going to say less than that. I was going to say one and a half.
Okay.
Really, really low.
And whatever. It's a great story. Glad he's back. Knows the system. If he's healthy, he's a depth piece for them. But I don't anticipate that they think he's their corner two for a second, really. And if he is, it'll be because whoever they draft for that spot doesn't beat him out. Right? Or doesn't beat out Dane Jackson. But no, I don't think Tre'Davious White coming back is any sort of indication that they feel comfortable. They could have made this signing 2 weeks from now, after the draft, post-draft. That it happens now is, I don't know, is that noteworthy? Is that interesting?
Maybe. I mean, they were trying to act on it with bringing James Bradbury in for a visit as well.
That's right.
So that's two corners who both, by the way, have had major injuries in the last 2 years that they were looking at. They wanted one more guy before the draft. And isn't this kind of what Bean does and what Bean talks about, is that you don't want to go into a draft completely desperate? I mean, he says a lot of things
we don't have to. They do that all the time. They did that last year.
Mm-hmm.
They did it the year they drafted Rousseau. They did it the year they drafted Elam. I mean,
right, because that's really the right point is, should anyone feel any more comfortable about corner two? Say they don't get anyone they like in the draft. They're like, it never falls their way, and they don't end up doing it. Big stunner. Bills don't draft a corner until like round six. And they have Tre'Davious White on their team. Does that actually make anyone feel that much more comfortable than you would have 3 days ago when that name would have just been Dane Jackson?
Probably a little bit, because there's an option there. A little bit. But even the concept, Joe, of you don't want to go to the draft having one glaring need. Well, there's a spin on that. Does that mean the rest of my team is pretty good? Because that's what it's not better to go with five holes. It's better to go in there with one. And if you have one glaring need, you can draft three guys at that position. So, you know, he says stuff like that. He says you don't want one glaring need. He's got one, probably. Then again, every other time corner two has been their biggest need, I've never felt like it's that big of a need. They've put together great passing defenses with a corner two that's just a rotational piece, that's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
E.J. Gaines, Josh Norman, stop me wherever you go. Right? Like, it was Trey White as their number one corner, and then they needed to trade for Douglas, who was probably it for 5 minutes before Benford just took over.
Yeah.
Right? Other than that, I mean, they've had a pretty solid top corner for a while, and they've had a pretty solid pass defense for just as long. Safety, to me, is where things got different last year. They went from having one of the best safety tandems in football to having two guys that were okay. They have their strengths. They have their weaknesses. So, rebuilding their secondary, maybe it comes from a safety standpoint. Maybe it comes from finally getting two really good corners. But Levi Wallace was corner two, and he was fine for a long time until the playoff game where they kind of got mad at him. But
yeah.
They've been just as good. There are a couple spots that they've never really had. Stud defensive tackle, one technique guy.
Mm-hmm.
Run stuffing defense. They've never had that. And it just doesn't matter.
Well, what's the thing? Do they want to have something that they've never had before? And if they do, what's the right answer to that question? What's the thing that, okay, you've never had it before? You want to get something you've never had. What's the right thing to choose from? Because you might not be able to pick all of them.
Right.
And like, to me, the idea of having a second corner that you're not terrified of, if you check into man coverage, you decide in a game, maybe we want to start playing a little bit more man. We want to line up one-on-one. Having a second corner that's got the ability to do that, That sounds more appealing to me than, well, I've never really had the elite run-stuffing defensive tackle. Whatever. The Bills for 6 years have said, yeah, we don't really care about the run game. Their actions at least have said that. I know their words haven't. So having a number two corner that this is kind of in the same idea of giving them more options. We talked about third down defense the other day, right? And Michael Hoyt and getting different looks defensively. Well, one look you really haven't had that's different is the ability to line up two corners and not be terrified of one of them covering a guy in space. Because you never wanted Levi Wallace doing that.
Right.
You never wanted Dane Jackson doing that. And I'm not saying I don't think you'd want Tre'Davious White doing that at this age and this injury history. But if they were to land a rookie that is able to produce right away, it would be like the first time they've ever had two corners that maybe you're not afraid of covering two receivers.
As you complete that sentence, do you want to know where Tre'Davious White was graded by PFF last year?
Last year. Just all grading? Like all coverage, I mean?
Yes. Defensive grade, overall ranking.
I would bet he was pretty low.
It's not even about the number here. It's just a little bit of irony. He was right behind Rasul Douglas.
Mm.
So the idea about being confident, you've got two guys. When's the last time you could be this guy?
I don't know if they had it last year, though, right? Like, would you say they did?
But Trey White was Rasul Douglas last year is what I'm saying.
Right.
So yeah. if you're someone out there that thought Trey White will come in and that answers their question, they don't need a corner. They've always going to have been drafted. It's almost like they re-signed Rasul Douglas, which they did not do, by the way.
I'm sure that's dead now.
Yes, I think that's probably dead too. Thank you for your service. He had a good run, you know, good acquisition, made a couple big plays for them. But, yeah, they move on from that. I mean, that's got to be done. Benford pounded the table for that when he signed his extension, saying he wants Douglas to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. PFF grades, you don't have to take them. You can take them or you can leave them. You can do what you want with them. But Trey White was ranked 104th among cornerbacks in the NFL last year. And it's Rasul Douglas' territory. So I don't think Douglas was terrible. He was fine, but
he was fine except in the Ram game where they got torched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the Bills kind of had that happen a lot last year where face a really good offense and things got away from you. A really good passing offense. The teams that I think about that had great success against the Bills are the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Rams, the Lions. And I would list all those as teams that have potentially elite to, well, the Chiefs don't, but the Chiefs always do it to the Bills. But the others have really good passing games, right? The Rams do. The Rams were healthy, and Puka and Kupp kind of ripped them up. And the Ravens had a great passing game and beat the Bills pretty well in that playoff game, even though they lost. So anyway, I don't dislike it. I'm happy with the Trey White addition. Up to $6.8 million. We want to see how much work Up to is doing. But if you want to say it raises their floor, I think that's a great way to say it. We'll talk about it with Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. But the focus will still likely be defense with the first-round pick. Probably if they were to draft all 10 players, what's the over-under on defensive picks? 7.5?
Yeah, is that high?
Maybe we could play.
That's a high number.
Maybe we could play a game because we don't know how many picks they'll ultimately end with.
Yeah.
But should we say 74.5% of their capital will be spent on defense? Wouldn't you bet 3 defensive picks to every 1 offensive pick?
Yes. That still seems like a lot. I know their holes are on defense. 3 for every 1. The problem is just finding where they will pick an offensive player, right? They will pick
a wide receiver somewhere, and after that,
they will probably pick an offensive lineman just because you throw one of those in every draft, yeah, right?
I think that'll be an interior guy.
Do you think they'll draft a running back anywhere?
I don't.
Anywhere.
I don't.
7th round.
I mean, if they want to cut
it. Actually, they don't have a 7th round pick, right? 6th round.
That's right.
Okay. Tight end.
Maybe.
3rd string tight end.
Could be tight end because Quentin Morris is, he's not signed yet, and Zach Davidson, whatever. So tight end, sure.
And then I'm at quarterback.
Which?
Backup quarterback.
That's always, to me, been a good idea, but they like to get guys that are not waiting in the wings. What they want is someone that's going to help Josh be the best Josh can be, and I don't think a rookie does that.
And they have Trubisky and Mike White coming back already. So what did I just count? Two?
Possible. Yeah.
I mean, they could draft two receivers, two day three receivers, right?
Yes, they could.
Well, that's going to be tough to make numbers work on, like, who makes the team, but whatever. That's tough. I mean, the way I just laid that out, I think maybe I would want to take the over two of, because I could draft corners, I could draft a linebacker.
I got
fifth
linebacker.
Round pick, maybe this guy in the future.
I don't have a position on the defense that I have to stay away from.
Like in totality. Like,
no, no.
Like in the
defensive line, both spots. Linebacker, I've been making the case for that for a while. It's not at the top of the list, but it's on the list. Safety, corner.
Are they going to draft a punter?
Are they going to draft a kicker?
That's going to screw up our bet. What if they draft a punter and nothing hits?
All right, here we go. Punter counts as defense. Kicker counts as offense. Fair?
Well, now it's even more advantage defense because they don't have a punter and they do have a kicker.
Well, that's
actually
part of
they do have a punter, but I forget who it is. It's not Sam Martin. They released him.
803-0550, our phone number. We'll get some calls in on this. How do you like the Trey White signing? He's back, and do you think it affects their plans? I don't. Maybe it's a little less desperate, but it's not the kind of thing where they're on the board and they're going to be looking and saying, oh, here's a corner, but, well, we got Trey White, so we're not as bad, because they're still lacking in that position. And I mean, is Trey White much different than who's the defensive tackle that is the same level of player as him? Is it Jordan Phillips? Is it?
See, that's the thing. It's like he now, yes, right? It's different. It almost like that sounded disrespectful to me, but it really isn't, because Jordan Phillips was always like a pretty good player when he was at his best.
I mean, now.
Now, because Trey White was an all-pro corner, but no one's believing that he's going to come near that, right? He was pretty good in the first four games that he played the last time he was in Buffalo, right? Like, that game that they blow out Miami here early in the season, right after the Dolphins had scored 70. The Bills do pretty well against Miami after those first couple of drives. Trey White is covering Tyreek Hill that day. Hmm. And Tyreek Hill, notoriously, doesn't really go off against the Bills. So they had their plan. Trey White was playing well that season. You want to look at coverage grades. That was the second best. He was having his second best season coverage-wise going into it was only, again, very limited sample, though. So it was going well, but then he tore his Achilles, and then he plays last year, and like you mentioned, okay, he's Rasul Douglas. He was okay, but the Rams didn't value him enough to keep him for the playoffs. So what do I have left here? What's my upside? Is there any thought that he tore his Achilles 2 years ago, he gets a year back under his feet, more comfortable, and okay, he's going to return, get closer to form? Because I'm not really thinking that way, but I guess you could try to make that argument if you really wanted to. The biggest Trey White fan could probably make that argument.
Let's get a call in here. Eric in Lockport joins us to open up. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Not bad. Happy Friday.
Yes, finally, at long last. Just wanted to run through a couple quick things about the draft. So now the defense, I think it's already kind of overinvested in, given how, you know, defensive minded the head coach is. I mean, the defensive line has two first round picks on it. If they draft corner this year, it'll be three times they've done corner. They did one at linebacker. And on the offensive side, Josh has one first round player on the whole unit that they've ever done. In the Chief losses in the playoffs, you know, the Chiefs have gotten to 38, 42, 27, and 32. I think if the Bills spent all 10 picks on defense, I don't think it makes it any, even if they got two Pro Bowlers out of it, I don't think it's make it any more likely that they stop Mahomes and Andy Reid. I don't know that there's a player in this draft that makes the impact for Josh. You know, I'm certainly, you know, I'm not a scout. But I think going forward, I just would like to see more of an investment on getting that guy some help, because I think he is the best. I will hang up and listen.
Thanks, Eric. That is the way you put that is a great way to put it, because it's tough to ask that, but that is a question that lingers out there. How good, how talented does a McDermott defense need to have answers against the Chiefs? Because one thing about this year's Chiefs is that was a team that could be defended, and this team struggled to do it. Yeah. Everybody else defended them. The Texans held them in check in that playoff game.
The Eagles
of course,
them.
Destroyed them. other teams held that offense in check. And in the playoff game, this team got worked. Maybe that's because Benford got hurt and Elam had to go in. There's always a reason, right? But, I mean, I think Sean McDermott is a good coach and a good defensive mind. But these matchups in the playoffs, there's always a roster element to it. Oh, we don't have any linebackers. Oh, Benford's out. But, man, the Chiefs always have the answers. And, again, like the way that Eric said there, how many great players on defense do you need to get by them? Because the conversation about the defense, Joe, is kind of like the conversation about the offense. Statistically, they draft three guys in this draft, and they become the number one NFL defense. Wow. Job well done. But Do you beat the Chiefs? Do you get the job done?
Yeah.
No one would care. Go ahead and hang a banner for your ranking. You have to get by them. And that's how I feel about the offense. Hang a banner for your ranking. Did you get by him? You did not. And your offense did score a good amount of points, but with the ball late, faltered. So, you know, we're sitting here living that same life. We're Rory McIlroy at Augusta. That's what we are. Is this the year you're going to get by him?
I was going to say, he eventually wins.
He does. That's why we'll stick to it.
For now, they're still Phil at the U.S. Open.
That's right. And that's not going to...
For those that don't know, he never won the U.S.
He finished second six times.
Yeah.
That ship has probably sailed. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe, we've got Sal at 7 o'clock. Paul Hamilton at 8:30. The Sabres locker clean out. They finished their season with a win over Philadelphia. And lots more to get to. So join us. Jump on the phone lines. It's technically it's Fun Hat Friday. We got like one and a half fun hats
one
in
and
here.
A half. Yeah.
You have a fun hat?
Oh, he's not wearing it
yet. He hasn't put it on yet. All right.
So if he wants an unveiling, I think that's really setting expectations high.
A reveal.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're into it. What else is going on? It's going to be 70 today, so, you know, enjoy it. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here's Alex Tuck playing it across. Bernard Docker gaining the Flyers line. He'll continue a play down. Here's Tuck in front, scores! Great feed, Alex Tuck! And the Rick Martin Memorial Award winner makes it 1-0.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. One of the moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Shout out Peyton Krebs getting a nice goal in that game.
He could have had four in that game. And you know what's funny? I had a parlay last night. I almost put Krebs two goals in there just for some reason. Like, he's been shooting more. I'm like, this is going to rocket these odds. I'm like, no, wait, this is not going to happen. I'm glad I didn't do it because I would have been so mad this morning if I lost because he didn't score twice. He had three breakaways in the game.
Well, one was a really nice
move. One was an awesome move.
Very
that he
nice
scored
move.
On. Yeah.
Alex Tuck. Alex Tuck's next contract is going to be $8 million.
Minimum. Yeah.
Yeah.
$8 million. Seven years, $8 million.
I had the thought about it last night. It's not, you know, in a vacuum. We'll get to a call here in a minute on Trey White, but Skinner scored 40 once and got $8 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, $9 million.
Nine. Sorry, nine.
Got nine. And here's Tuck, 36 or 37. What was the number last night? It's a career high. Tied career high in goals for Tuck. He's done it before, and he's been great for them.
I think 37 is the number.
So go ahead and give Tuck $8 million. 5 years. Is five too long?
I've got him at 36, okay. Hockey reference.
But an extension for Tuck is something that they're going to...
Well, it is too long, but that's going to be the price of doing business.
It should be.
You want the fruits of the first 4 years, you have to pay for three bad years at the end of the contract. That's how hockey works.
Yep. And in this case,
for the most part.
In this case, hey, you weren't making enough when we traded for you, and you've been everything we could ask for and more, so we'll throw a couple more your way, too. It is the way it works sometimes. 803-0550 on the Sabres if you want. And, of course, we are less than a week away from the NFL draft. Trey White back on a one-year deal with the Bills worth up to $6.8 million. That up to is a big part of it. We'll see what the guaranteed money actually is. And we're talking draft stock in terms of what the Bills would do. We had a little joke about the bet being three defensive players to every one offensive player this year. And if that's the case, this is the next, I think, the next step. It waits till next week and, you know, training camp. But how much pressure will there be on the Bills to, hey, have a good defense again? You invested heavily in it. You just re-signed a bunch of your pieces. It's got to be good. It's got to be good again.
Isn't that kind of help the defense of, like, you want to draft Luther Burden or any other receiver in the first round? Isn't that kind of help that? Because I've only really got one thing I need on the whole offense. So take care of that early, and then spend every other draft pick you have on the defense.
Yep.
You're still the theme of your draft, even though the first pick would have been on offense. The theme of your draft will still have been
defense.
The Bills and trying to fix their defense. Look, they spent 9 of their 10 picks on defense, doing it in volume more so than doing it in you know, the expensive one at the top.
Wendell in Amherst is up. Good morning, Wendell.
Hey. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. Good morning. Trey White and stuff is a fraction of the player that he used to be. But I think that Bills Mafia and stuff will, you know, embrace him, you know, coming back. And it'll be like the, you know, like the final lap or so.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any idea of who we could actually get in the draft at corner, you know, to kind of, you know, tighten things up?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple names. Siobhan Revell is a name they've had in from East Carolina. But the problem there is he has an injury that he's coming off of. You could get Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky.
They've had a bunch in for visits. In fact, it was just reported that Dorian Strong has come in for a visit. And he's a super athletic, interesting idea.
Yes.
I've not seen him pegged in the first round at all.
I've seen him for third round.
Yeah.
But he is 6'4 and ran a 4.30. Crazy athlete.
Yeah.
I don't know what his RAS score, but I'm sure it's in the high nines.
Trey Amos is one you see a lot out of Ole Miss.
He visited.
He met with the Bills at the combine, and they came in here.
I think I saw him on a visit a couple days ago.
Yeah. There will be no shortage of corner options. I think it depends, you know, who you listen to. Yesterday, I'm listening a lot to One Bills Live with Maddie Glavin and Chris Trapasso were on, and they had Greg Cosell. You know, playing the draft board. It's the thing about the draft. You kind of wait to see how it gets, and here I am, the 30th pick. Well, there are 13 corners we still like for rounds 1 and 2, and there are 3 defensive tackles we like. Take the tackle.
Yeah.
While everybody likes to say you take best player available, I don't think it's that simple. I think teams like to say that. We never see their draft boards. It's not as simple as best player available, or else these teams would click auto draft and just go to, you know, go out for a drink. So it's about reading the market. All right, hey, it's getting thin at defensive end. Think about your own fantasy drafts. I know fantasy drafts are different, but, you know, if you're up on the clock and you're not picking again for 30 picks and there's 2 tight ends you like and 20 receivers you like, what do you take?
Take a tight end.
You take the tight end. You take where there's about to be a scarcity. So it'll depend on how the board falls. And again, we kind of won't know how their board falls. But there's lots of good corner options.
Yeah, Porter's interesting. He's different, I think, than some of the others, because that is, again, kind of under the umbrella of oh, you want to do things a little bit differently. You want to, you've used the terminology, you get in the lab, right, on defense. Yep. So Porter, who actually ESPN has ranked a little higher than PFF. PFF's where I saw him in the third. ESPN has him ranked as the 53rd overall prospect. So that put him in the second round. Actually, right around the Bills' second round picks.
52, yeah.
So he weighed in at 6'3", 195 at the combine. So 6'3". And what they describe him as, third fastest 40 time at the combine, regardless of position, outstanding arm length, recovery speed to develop into an elite press corner. He has rare upside. So I thought I saw elite press coverage somewhere in here. Yeah, elite in press coverage.
Yeah, okay.
So kind of sounds a little bit like Kyrie Elam on the surface, but that didn't work. But what did you – I don't think they were wrong for shooting for that. Shooting for a different type of corner, because Elam wasn't maybe that tall, but it was about length and it was about speed and more athleticism at the position.
Well, one thing an elite press corner can let you do is play defense differently. An elite press corner is, okay, you're over there, take that guy, and we're going to build the defense around the rest of it.
Yeah.
53rd overall prospect, you say, the Bills, of course, not 52, the Bills pick 56 and 62. So right in the neighborhood of where they could pick twice.
Right. For those wondering, by the way, like I might sound like I just described a first-round prospect. I think one reason why is he didn't start until this last year.
Which is something the Bills love.
Like he's a six-year, and he's older. He's a six-year college football player, and he didn't start until his sixth season. So he didn't get going until he was playing against guys that were 4 years younger than him. This is the Xavier Leggett conversation
sure,
from last year.
Sure, sure. So much to dig in and dig through. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550.
He's also listed as wide receiver dash DB on senior college football reference.
Color me intrigued. You've got me.
Think of him like a wide receiver.
Think of him like a wide receiver. Let's do it. 803-0550. Thanks, Wendell, for the phone call. You mentioned Luther Burden. I don't know what the Bills will ultimately do at receiver. It feels like they've got a, you know, it's funny, we always think about needs and you don't want to get too locked into something you need, but we only do that with the bigger picture of receiver or the bigger picture of corner. With receiver, their need is, I think, pressing, but it's also specific to the type of receiver. When we say they need a corner too, does it have to be a man press corner? Does it have to be somebody good at zone? You know, those are different skill sets, and some guys are good at one and not the other. Edge rusher. Do they need a speed rusher or a power rusher? Do they need a guy to set the edge? Like, there are different versions of the same position.
Mm-hmm.
At receiver, they could love a guy, but if he plays the slot, like, we don't need that guy. We need something very specific.
Yeah.
You need a speed guy. And I said this yesterday. Let me know if you agree with this in general. Why do we all think they still need a speed guy? Is it not because what that represents is someone that would make a defense play them differently, which means that they don't really have guys that make defenses play them differently. And I was getting at this on the roundtable with Shope and Bulldog yesterday. I think Keon Coleman can still be a real nice player for them, and his role can be carved out perfectly, and he can win the way he wins. But in year one, he saw just tons and tons of single coverage. Defenses did not adjust what they do to, like, oh, we gotta watch out for this guy. He's been a freak. That'll change if he has a lot of success. But the idea of a speed guy is to pull coverage away, because I don't think that they have a player that has gravity, that commands that attention in the way that a lot of other teams do.
Unless, would you say, like, so the Bills last year were near the bottom in how often defenses would face them with two high safeties. Is that more to do with they don't have anybody that makes them do that, or that's more to do with, hey guys, that Shakir guy, we gotta focus in on him more?
I think it's the first.
And the run game.
I mean, those two go hand in hand. Why were teams able to just, you know, blanket Kincaid in the middle of the fields? Because, well, what are you worried about? Nobody on the outside is gonna do any damage. We'll see Josh Palmer. I mean, he's a big part of this, of course, and the draft is less than a week away. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we return, we have what not to do when you are allowed in the new Bills Stadium for the first time. A story of something that happened over at Everton somebody got into the stadium for the first time.
Mm-hmm. The new state, their new stadium?
Their brand new stadium. Yeah. Don't do this. Next. Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe. So, teased going to the break, what not to do when the new stadium opens. There's a story from the BBC in England there. An Everton fan stole food at the new stadium. A man filmed himself walking away with like free whatever. It's there on the counter. He grabs it and he says, adios, amigo, before walking away laughing. And he adds, the first man to officially do a Toby at Bramley Moor Dock. Again, apparently doing a Toby is stealing something. Doing a Toby. You're learning that today in addition to the rest of it.
I am. Yeah.
So he's banned for life. There you go.
Let me start at the beginning again. There was free food on the table?
Nope. A test event. The Bills have talked about this. When the new stadium opens up, there's a test event. This guy, 62.
He went to the test event.
Went to a test event. Yoink. On some free food, filmed himself doing it and posted it.
But it wasn't free food. It was
sorry.
He reached over the counter or something like that and grabbed food that he was supposed to pay for. Right.
He was asked to donate the 12 pounds, not like money pounds, of food to the Everton community charity. I'm trying to see like it says what he ordered here, but
okay,
it's their brand new stadium, and he is banned for life.
He's banned for life. That don't do that.
Everybody right now,
wow.
Text.
Imagine being like an Everton fan and like, oh, brand new stadium. We're going to. It's the last time you'll ever be there.
Find this story and text it to the fella in the group chat. It's like, this is you. You would totally do this.
Yeah.
Accidentally get banned from the new stadium before it opens.
Little harsh, it sounds like, no?
I mean, it says.
From Everton?
It says indefinite ban. Mm. And his membership of the club was canceled. Over there,
woo.
It's like your PSL being revoked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's big there. It's like the only way you can get tickets there, right?
Yep.
Like from if you're someone traveling to the game.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Sal coming up on the other side. We're going to ask him a couple things about this Trey White signing. How many players can we remember who had a return engagement with the Bills?
I've got a list cooking right here, and it's I think it's a very lengthy list.
Yeah?
Yeah. And that we're talking just like last 7 years, from what I've looked at so far.
Peerless Price was here twice.
Let me add him. We need a non-McDermott Bean category, and he would be in this.
Everybody comes back.
Yep.
All right, we'll get to that with Sal. He's coming up on the other side on the Trey White signing, what it means, what the expectation should be. We're, of course, still waiting on details of the contract. That might tell a good amount of the story as well. It's up to $6.8 million if it's, $2 million guaranteed. That paints a little bit of a different picture. 6.8 is not huge money, of course, so we'll see. 803-0550, and it could all come in the way of not likely to be earned incentives, where off a year where he didn't play that much, have that many picks. We'll see. So Trey White's back. It's a good story either way. Sal on the other side, we'll chop it up with him coming up next.